And I don't think they have any particular spiritual values in the old-fashioned sense of it, but nor do their parents. It's the middle-aged are setting the tone in this country, not the young, for materialism. If you look at the window here, people driving the big cars, they're not kids. They're dads and mums and golf club members. So ultimately, I don't think it's actually located in a certain demographic, this obsession with materialism. I think it's almost ubiquitous. I think what you have is a culture that is not dissimilar from the age of about 55 down in Ireland. If you go to the local pub here tonight, you will see the aspirations of the middle-aged are setting the tone for the younger generation. So I think there's very little spirituality anywhere in the country, no matter what age you're talking about.
Okay, if there's no spirituality, did you discern values? I mean, what sort of values do people live by?
Well, I mean, I suppose if you look at it again, and I would argue strongly that the young have much more globalized environmental values than the middle-aged. I would argue that they have a much greater sense. So if you look at the books they're reading and buying, they're buying your books like No Logo. They have a sense of branding. They have a sense of some sort of internationalist movement, whereas their parents don't. Their parents are voting Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, once every 4 years, spectator democracy, and thereafter are buying second houses in Bulgaria.
This is the second generation, and you think that has changed?
Yeah, I think so. I think what is interesting in Ireland is the narrative is that there is some uniquely unusual, hedonistic, individualistic group of people in their 20s, and they are quite different to their parents who might be in, let's say, their late 40s and early 50s. There's no evidence of that. What you have is a blurring of the generation gap, it would seem to me, and that many of the 1970s liberals who fought the good fight, who would be the parents of the Pope's children, turned away from having got a couple of boxes which they ticked on divorce and, to an extent, the liberal agenda, then went and bought SUVs.
The people you talk to, what aspirations have they, apart from the material things? To what extent does community and those things come in?
The younger people we talked to, they all wanted families. Mm-hmm. They all wanted nice places to live. They all wanted to look after their children. They had very, very similar aspirations to my generation, who's kind of wedged in between these two. And I think that it struck me that in terms of religious values, they're probably the first of the post-religious era in Ireland, kind of almost post-Christian era, and which makes Christians then very interesting, because Christians are the ones then who are actually fighting a fight that might not only be look outdated, but actually might be a futuristic battle. But, I mean, that's the society we live in. This is Europe, in contrast to the United States, is an atheist continent, and these are children of Europe.
So morality, perhaps that's the wrong word, value system is very much ad hoc and people make up things as they go along.
Yeah, it's a la carte. It's a very a la carte sort of morality, which I would agree with. I think that, you know, you have two ways to live your life. You have rules or discretion. And as long as your discretion is based on a certain general view of what's right and wrong, and I believe they have that, then jettisoning the rather strict rules which govern this country over the last 100 years isn't probably a bad thing. And if you look at what's happening in terms of violence in this society, it's not the people I portrayed who are actually perpetrating violence and casual violence. On the contrary, they seem to be rather well-behaved people.
Do they have absolutes?
Absolutes?
Mm.
In what sense?
In what sense? Are there certain values that they would adhere to at all costs?
I'm not too sure. But, I mean, you know, I think that these changes this younger generation have had to bear with. They have to shoulder enormous responsibilities financially with respect to mortgages that their parents didn't do. They have had to adapt and change with a society that is absorbing in more immigrants and strangers than any society in Europe has ever done. Are we seeing outbreaks of racism? No, we're not. Are we seeing some sort of revolutionary movement? No, we're not. What you have is, I think, a reasonably heroic bunch, very tolerant, having a good time, being reasonably pleasant, and behaving rather well.
The programs from a church perspective are probably fairly bleak.
They're not. They're very uplifting. They're messianic, the eventuality. Why do you say they're bleak?
Because the conventions and institutions which the church attaches itself to seem to play very little part in the lives of most of the people that you seem to encounter.
But I presume that's the reality, that basically you guys are a bunch of revolutionaries now.
He's suggesting the church has actually had to reinvent itself and go back to first principles.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you're in the marketplace for ideas, you're selling a lifestyle. So is Nike selling a lifestyle. So is Guinness selling a lifestyle. So are all the big brands. There was a time 50 years ago that you had the monopoly on lifestyle advertising. You now have to compete in the marketplace. It might sound very apocalyptic for the church, but there's no reason that the church should have a special brand that has to fight its corner.